Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Doubters, I am John Jacob Schmidt, happy to be with you on this 25th day of September 2011, and welcome to the 16th week of the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt. Let me start first by letting all of you know that you are not forgotten. We've received a ton of emails from so many of you across the American Redoubt and across the nation. And I've been able to get back to most of you with promises of getting back to some of you with a more lengthy response, just like last week. And I'm working on those, so be patient. What are all these letters about, you might ask? Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been promoting the American Redoubt Network, and many of you are responding. And that's great, and thank you. We're setting those aside while we work on the formatting for the American Redoubt Network, and we'll start posting that information over the next couple of weeks. Actually, we'll be contacting you with more information. So those of you who have volunteered and signed up for the American Redoubt Network, so you can access the network feature. That way, as the American Redoubt Network grows, you'll be able to see other redoubters in your area come on board. And I talked about that in quite a bit more detail last week, and you can go back and listen to that on the Podbean player, and that's week 15. Also, you can click on the AMRON and American Redoubt Network tab to learn more and read that page. That's growing, but we need many, many more of you for the American Redoubt movement to really begin gaining traction, or should I say, more traction. The movement is growing, thanks to all of you. Also, lots of letters from so many of you who are relocating to the American Redoubt. We're glad to have you joining us, and we really want to hear updates as to how that's going. Which part of the American Redoubt are you considering? Where'd you finally end up in your final decision? And what made you decide? All that good stuff. One family in particular said they have teenage daughters, and so they were looking for a Christian college. That wasn't their only criteria, but it was big on their priority list. So after doing some research and looking very strongly at Whitworth Christian Community College in Spokane, that's over there in Washington, they've pretty much decided that the Coeur d'Alene area of North Idaho, which is about 25 to 30 minutes away from Spokane, is at the top of their list so far. They're not done doing their research, but I thought I'd pass that along in case any of you are looking for similar criteria with your relocating decisions. A few other strong contenders are the Missoula, Kalispell, and Bozeman areas of Montana. Also the areas surrounding Sandpoint, Idaho, and the rest of the Panhandle. Central Idaho, Western Wyoming, Spokane, Washington, as well as the remote communities of Northern and Northeast Washington. Lots going on and lots of movement and plans for moving taking place right now. Also, we've gotten a lot of letters from many of you across the country living in conservative pockets. Many of those regions, of course, will likely emerge as future redoubts or patriot safe haven locations, many of which are already beginning to refer to those. Some of you are referring to those as redoubts already, from the Appalachians to Mississippi to the Adirondacks, the Dakotas, Oklahoma, Utah, the good old Texas Redoubt, the Federal Republic of. Also, We're hearing from lots of ham radio operators. And just to reiterate, we're setting all your contact information to the side for now as we work on the Amron project. We'll be contacting you when we get that plan in place here very soon. And still, we'd like to hear from many more of you out there. I've gotten some great feedback and some suggestions from many of you, as I've already told you in emails. And all your help is greatly appreciated. So thank you again. Some of you, I told you I wanted to follow up and pick your brains on some other information, and I still plan on doing that. All this just takes time, so I haven't forgotten about you. Lots of other emails, too, that we don't have time to get into right now. But we'll be discussing some of those in the coming weeks, because so many of you bring up things that I think could be beneficial for other listeners if we brought some of those issues and topics up on the air. There's a lot going on in the news, obviously. I mean, our world and our nation is changing quickly before our eyes, but some of the highlights that I keyed in on, I think are worth commenting on. So that brings us to a brief news and commentary for events happening that could affect you living inside and outside the American Redoubt, or could just serve as more proof that there's a need for a redoubt in a culture that's and a nation that's crumbling. First, it was a sad week for our fighting forces as Obama and the other God haters in our government got their long-awaited wish by officially and gleefully dropping the so-called "don't ask, don't tell" military policy of banning homosexuality from the military. As predicted, it's already created angst and confusion among the ranks and from the top down. Just what our fighting men and women needed at a time when they have two wars, a seesaw, politically driven foreign policies, and a shrinking military budget to contend with. And I can assure you, this hasn't done anything other than cause confusion and anxiety, as well as a huge rift throughout the military, and especially among the chaplain corps. Chaplains are waiting and watching to see how this is going to affect them, and we all know it's a matter of time before the satanic policies will be forcing an exodus of chaplains who have to make a choice between their biblical faith and the military policies that will no doubt increasingly force the acceptance of this degenerate so-called lifestyle. It's truly a sad week for our military and for our country. I can't think of anything more harmful to our national security than the removing of God's hand of protection and providence from our fighting forces. That move just placed us all in greater danger as Americans. So please remember to pray for our chaplains, for the strength and courage that they're going to need, because they'll soon have to choose between their careers and their faith. The most powerful cult in our nation, the homosexual cult, will certainly be attempting to force our chaplains to conduct such so-called weddings in the future. It's a matter of time. And speaking of policies that cause angst and confusion, if you remember earlier this summer, we covered Obama's announcement that he would push hard for a vote in the UN for a Palestinian state by September. Well, it's September, and the topic was brought up at the UN, and guess what? Now Obama is scrambling, backpedaling, and even went to the United Nations this week and said forcing the issue wasn't the answer, that continuing a dialogue with Israel now is the answer. Peace is hard work, he says. Huh. Talk, 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 more talk. So what happened, Mr. Obama? Something happened, because before he was adamant about a UN vote to grant Palestinian statehood. Now we just need to keep talking to Israel about it. Something happened, because Obama wants to see a Palestinian state, but I think someone got him alone in a room and set him straight. I would love to have been there, because whatever was said, it sure made him do a 180. Just for the record, we stand by Israel here at Radio Free Redoubt. I consider Israel to be the original redoubt designed by God himself. He made a covenant with the land and the people of Israel, the Jews, that stands today. And it scares me, the thought of America even remotely supporting the notion of a Palestinian state. Genesis 12:3 says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And that was a message to Israel. And our glorious leader, if someone didn't intervene, would be pushing to establish a Palestinian state, a curse to Israel. We always try to stay on top of persecution against Christians and attacks on our Judeo-Christian values and heritage. And there's a bunch. Just some of the headlines you can check out for yourself. A cross in an elderly L.A. woman's yard stirs controversy. Another one, home Bible study threatened with $500 fines per meeting. And what's most interesting about that, when you go and check that article out, is the comments at the bottom that are left by readers, just to see where the mindset of Americans are right now. It's not looking good outside the American redoubt, and it's spreading. So even in otherwise traditionally conservative states, like Alabama, here's one. An Alabama superintendent is banning public prayer before high school football games. The superintendent claims that the 10-year-old practice is in violation of the First Amendment. Can you believe that? He should be fired. And in Tennessee, coaches are getting in trouble for praying during student-led prayers before football games because it could be an endorsement of a religion. You've got to be kidding me. Lord, help us. Oh, and switching directions for just a second. Did any of you hear about the new discovery in the Obamacare program? New things are being discovered all the time. And the more we learn, the uglier it gets. This is from a Washington Examiner piece, and it starts with this. It's been said 1,000 times Congress had to pass the President Obama's health care law in order to find out what's in it. But despite the repetitiveness, the level of shock from each new discovery never seems to recede. This time, America is learning about the federal government's plan to collect and aggregate confidential patient records for every one of us. In a proposed rule from Secretary Kathleen Sebelius and the Department of Health and Human Services, the federal government is demanding insurance companies submit detailed health care information about their patients. You. They just never quit. And from the American Redoubt, someone over in the North Idaho area who receives regular email newsletters from U.S. Representative Raul Labrador forwarded a copy to us. It's pretty good. It appears the guy's doing what the people elected him to do. He shot out a letter to his constituents lambasting Obama's so-called jobs plan. And also, I didn't realize just how much legislation the Republicans have sponsored and passed in the House that's stuck in the Senate and probably going nowhere. And it seems like the people we put in place last fall are doing what we sent them there to do. But without a majority in the Senate, they're just spinning their wheels. And that's frustrating. Well, keep up the fight, guys. Don't give up. But to our listeners, check out that link when you get a chance. It's really interesting to see what's happening. It's in a chart form, so it's pretty easy to see at a glance. And that link, and of course, all the links to all the other stories you're provided, we've provided in the highlights and resources page for this week, week 16. So you can check those out at your leisure. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we have an important announcement about next week's scheduled broadcast that you'll want to make a note of. And then I want to share a piece from a very special person, someone dear to my heart, because that'll be the jump off point where we can get into today's topic, obstacles to the American redoubt and overcoming them. So don't touch that mouse. I'll be right back.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Readout Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Readout connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Readout is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves readouters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Readout Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Readout in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
I'm glad to have you with us tonight, as always. The numbers are growing, the listenership is expanding, the movement is building momentum, and we're just getting started. So welcome to our new listeners. Tell us who you are. We want to hear from you. Do you currently live in the American Redoubt? Are you moving here? What are your plans and what's your timeline? Or are you an OAR, a Redoubter at heart, living outside the American Redoubt? Are you living in what you believe will emerge as another Redoubt somewhere in the country? Or are you a Redoubter at heart and you're trapped behind enemy lines in what will be hostile territory in a collapse or Teotihuacan situation? Let us hear from you. Tell us your stories. We'd like to share some of those stories from you with others on the blog as an encouragement to others just like you. All right, first, an announcement about next week. And as those of you who know me personally already know, I have a full-time job and I own a full-time business. Plus, of course, I have a family and all that. Well, for those of you who don't know, I've got some major things going on in all departments, especially with the business. And that's my livelihood. So I've got to take care of some things with that, which is going to take up an enormous amount of time over the next couple of weeks. Plus, next Saturday, I have to squeeze in a tactical carbine course I'm attending next Saturday with one of my kids. And Saturday is my big prep day for the broadcast. So week 17 will get pushed back 1 week. However, on that note, during the week, I'll be posting some information about the American Readout Network and I think the AMRON project. If I can get that together in time. But definitely more information will be going up on the blog, just not the live broadcast next Sunday evening, October 2nd. But I still want to encourage you to tune in because we'll be playing regularly scheduled episodes from the International Spy Museum, from the Wall Builders, American Heritage podcast, as well as the re-airing of a previous Radio Free Readout broadcast, and probably one of our more popular shows, either China's Trojan Horse or Week 6, The Church. And I'll let you know, it'll sound just like a regular broadcast, except we'll be re-airing a previous show. And that'll be good for some of our newer listeners who haven't had a chance to go back and listen to the previous podcast versions of the broadcasts on the Podbean site. Now, I mentioned something from someone dear to my heart that I wanted to share with you. I don't know this person personally, but it's one of those people that you feel like you've known for years, even though you've never met. And for me, there are several of them, but I'm talking about Ole Remus from the Woodpile Report. I just absolutely love this guy. His style of writing is so intelligent, yet so down to earth, it's endearing. I don't know how he comes up with some of the stuff he does, but he has a huge following. Very talented guy, and I love reading his blogs. I look forward to his postings every week. There's a few like that for me. Enola Gay over at Paratus Familia, James Rawls at Survival Blog, Chuck Baldwin over at ChuckBaldwinLive.com, and of course, always John Leffler at Steel on Steel, and David Barton and Rick Green over at Wall Builders, regular staples in my life. So what's this piece I'm talking about? Well, unfortunately, Ole Remus's articles only stay up for about 4 to 6 weeks. And the piece I'm talking about was posted back in August. And it's not any longer available. It's not up on his blog. But I cheated. I cut and pasted it and put it in a Word document so I could hang on to it. The article's titled Crowd Control. Crowd Control. He's talking about the survivalist or prepper mindset. And as usual, he's dead on in his assessment. So I just want to share that with you because he's identified probably one of the biggest obstacles to the American Redoubt movement. So from Ole Remus at the Woodpile Report, this one's titled Crowd Control. There will be no revolution, no pitchforks and boiled rope, no street barricades, no Madame Defarge. As much as both nihilist and careerist would have us believe otherwise, calls to limit government are not the same as a call to overthrow government. What there will be, as said elsewhere, is a disorderly collapse resulting from corruption and stunning misleadership at all levels of government, societal fractures, and the fatal compromise of commerce by currency manipulation and unpayable public debt. We're also seeing a Marxist power grab in mid-debacle, but that's for another time. While the opportunist watches the ongoing catastrophe for some imagined advantage, and the partisan watches for openings to advance his cause, the survivalist sees nothing to gain from participation at any level and merely surveys the event as a normal part of situational awareness. The next few months will show S&P's downgrade to have been too little and too late, rather than too drastic and too soon. The Eurozone will fall apart. The American political crisis will only worsen. The so-called super committee will utterly fail, true to design. Soon enough, we may all wake up to a, quote, reckoning, truly deserving of the name. And that's from he's quoting from Ricky Kreitner, Business Insider. Mr. Kreitner speaks of how is likely to happen. What's already happening is assault, robbery, and looting by instant gangs using open source tactics. Ominous in the same way as Hitchcock's movie, The Birds, a self-organizing malevolence, which appears suddenly, accomplishes its purpose, and disperses. What's about to happen is mass looting, mass arson, and robbery, major mayhem with staying power similar to the North London riots, but scaled to fit our larger stage. Worse, conditions are approaching optimum for this to devolve into a chain of urban insurrections. What will set it off, which particular pebble will finally topple the pile, is immaterial. Although those who postulate a decreased increase in TANF or SNAP or similar make a convincing case. Should the wrong people take an interest, it could be intentionally escalated into urban or regional insurrection. Truly an ugly thing. It's a step beyond riots. We're talking such things as taking down the local power grid, selectively disabling communications, sabotaging transportation, perhaps even assassination, kidnapping, and other acts of guerrilla warfare. the survivalist who observes rule one, stay away from the crowds, is unlikely to be seriously threatened by such disasters. He will have been elsewhere long before the troubles begin. After all, cities are but crowds with bedrooms. Disengagement from the noxious stew of partisan politics is a large part of survivalism. It's enough for the survivalist to estimate what's coming with sufficient accuracy to prepare. Activism is a poor fit. Politics is a business with brand names and loyal customers and market research and investors, like any other enterprise. Realists take their mission statements for what they are: marketing. Survivalists are realists by nature. To their peril, those with a romantic outlook are constitutionally disinclined, to keep involvement at arm's length. Beware, it's a trap. The waters are treacherous and the undertow strong. A few words of caution about activist opposition. Alpha sociopaths and their fast-track cadets run this game. It's rarely what it appears to be. Consider, and this comes from a general, Oleg Kalugin, former chief of KGB operations in the United States. Soviet intelligence was really unparalleled. The KGB programs, which would run all sorts of congresses, peace congresses, youth congresses, festivals, women's movements, trade union movements, campaigns against U.S. missiles in Europe, campaigns against neutron weapons, allegations that AIDS was invented by the CIA, all sorts of forgeries and faked material were targeted at politicians and the academic community and at the public at large. Sound familiar? Partisan organizations opposed to the two-party, one-party system in the U.S. are likely to be covertly directed from D.C., modeled after the Soviet trust operation, where fake oppositions were built upon existing organizations and taken in-house. The purpose is to identify and collect evidence against members and supporters, commit acts calculated to encourage adherents into committing similar acts, spread disinformation at critical moments, and foster rumors and fantasies, another pointless dissipation. It would be reckless to accuse specific persons of being trust operation leaders, but just as reckless to put them entirely above suspicion. The Soviet operation ended in well-publicized roundups. Aside from riddling the regime of effective dissent, roundups intimidate the populace by lending an appearance of omnipotence to the regime. Now, you listeners, pay close attention to this. I'm going to post this so you can read it for yourselves. The survivalist stays away from such outfits. Their fate becomes his fate. Even organizations not controlled outright can be the functional equivalent of a trust operation. The French underground during World War II, for one. It was honeycombed with opportunists who informed on their fellow members, so much so the FFI considered its membership both an asset and a threat. Survivalists are not joiners, aside from church or synagogue, and they certainly are not joiners of confrontational outfits. There are serious-minded and honorable persons who are, but they're better defined by the purpose of their organizations than as survivalists. Although he may enter into local alliances of mutual benefit, the survivalist concerns himself primarily with the well-being of himself, his family, his community, in the defense of whom he will act with extreme prejudice should doomsday conditions obtain, meaning he will use force, practiced and unhesitatingly and in fitting proportion, to defeat any predatory violation of himself or his people. What he will not do is deliberately search for opportunities to use violence, nor will he prefer them when viable alternatives are available. This is what separates the survivalist from the confrontationalists, and why he has nothing to do with their factional machinations. He wins the game by not playing. Put another way, rule one, stay away from the crowds. is the inescapable default for those who value a self-directed life. I'll be right back with some of my thoughts. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Redoubt.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something. You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt.
And it goes a little something like this.
Welcome back. All right, let's get right into this. I think old Remus made a very acute assessment with this paragraph. While the opportunist watches the ongoing catastrophe for some imagined advantage, and the partisan watches for openings to advance his cause, the survivalist sees nothing to gain from participation at any level and merely surveys the event as a normal part of situational awareness. Now, that's interesting and accurate. A large percentage of our listeners are survival bloggers. I'm a survival blogger and have been for many years. And I would say that for a long time, I fell into the survivalist category, what many of us today refer to as preppers. And it's pretty much an isolationist mindset. I know of several people whose mentality is when Teotihuacan comes, to seal the gate, set the perimeter alarms, and consider anything moving in my field of fire a threat and should be treated as such. Now, that would actually be an appropriate policy if we found ourselves in an apocalyptic zombie world kind of scenario. But that's not the reality of it. I think that when he refers to partisans in this piece, I took it as meaning, say, Tea Partiers or 912ers and the like. Some of them are preppers, but they're not overly concerned, it seems, or at least they're not what you might call survivalists. To me, the opportunists are the Dave Ramsey's and Goldline International spokesmen. You know, the economy is collapsing, so protect yourselves by diversifying your portfolio. Get out of the stock market and buy gold certificates. They're basically treating the whole thing much like the Great Depression, but only on a larger scale, as if to imply that when this is all over, we'll be able to reinvest in the stock market with our diversified portfolios intact, where we can reinvest in the stock market and get rich after the Depression is over. The partisan 912ers and Tea Partiers recognize the mess that's been created by our government and the globalist liberals. And their rallying cry is Restore America. Now, I agree with the Tea Party's ideals and precepts. Where I differ is in the notion that America is restorable. We were warned generations ago. We were warned what to watch out for. We were warned exactly how our country would be destroyed if we allowed it. And that's from the inside. And we were warned that it was all but inevitable if we failed to be vigilant, if we neglected to continuously, proactively safeguard liberty. But that's exactly what we did. We took our eye off the ball. And now we've chosen the same path as the Roman Empire. And we're crumbling from within. And all the scrambling to fix it, and all the eloquent speeches, and all the rallying of the peasants couldn't save Rome. The empire fell. I believe that America has gotten to the point of no return. Unless the Lord himself intervenes, it's all coming down. And I feel that any hope of divine intervention to restore America the way we knew it to be has been dashed against the rocks. With our relentless pursuit of national, regional, and local policies, of deliberately forcing the acceptance of homosexuality, of deliberately removing God from our culture, our schools, our institutions of higher learning, and attempting to separate our children from the Creator as a national effort. Our reckless and counter-scriptural economic policies, the perversion of our lives through our so-called entertainment industries, and on and on and on. This nation only exists because of God, including and especially the many blessings we've enjoyed as a nation. Every other nation in the world that's attempted reformation based on the American model and the American Constitution has failed. Why? What's the secret formula? What made the outcome for America different and unique? I'll tell you why. It was the inclusion of God in our affairs and the recognition of Christ as Lord and King by the founders of this nation. We've been riding their curtails and benefiting from the blessings of the godly men that came before us, and we've squandered it. Until those partisan groups realize that the inevitable is truly inevitable, and it will be very difficult for them to consider something like the American Redoubt movement a credible alternative option as opposed to restoring America. I'd love to restore America. Lord knows I want that so badly. But when a forest fire rages higher, bigger, and more powerful, you have to finally come to the realization that smacking your dampened burlap bag on the grass in front of you just isn't doing it. If you would have used that same intensity, energy, and zeal at the beginning, like you were told to do, then the sparks that caught the grass on fire could have been stamped out before it got any further. But you were preoccupied, or you thought, oh, it's just a little brush fire. That's manageable. Besides, that's over in the other guy's campsite. No real threat to me. But now it's a raging inferno, and you're yelling for everyone to grab their pails and join you. The economic and political and social wildfire will not be stopped by 1% or 3% of American patriots with water pails. You finally have to realize that it's time to go, to get to a safe place where you can build fire breaks sufficient enough to protect you. That's what the American Redoubt is all about, a safe haven and refuge. It's the place marked out where you decided to concentrate your efforts geographically, and then where you say, not one tree will burn here. This is where we stand together and keep the fire out. If you're a partisan, then that's great, because in the American Redoubt, our survival will depend on the efforts of partisans. You just have a new cause. As more and more of you become aware, you're shifting your priorities. You need to redirect that energy to help in the American Redoubt effort to build fire breaks. Right now you're flailing at an inferno with a burlap bag. So think about how you can use that zeal to promote the American Redoubt. Now, as far as you survivalists, the survivalist sees nothing to gain from participation at any level and merely surveys the event as a normal part of situational awareness. I want to direct you to the last couple of paragraphs in the article. He wins the game by not playing. Put another way, rule one, stay away from crowds, is the inescapable default for those who value a self-directed life. Now, old Remus is right there on that one. When we're talking about a 1 second after scenario, or anarchist riot, Book of Eli, or The Road, or even a Jericho, that's the TV series, type situation. But when it comes to the American Redoubt movement and the stage that's being set in our country and the world, survivalists that adopt an isolationist approach to the events we're facing and will be facing with increasing intensity in our country, I see one of two probable outcomes. One, if you reject a regionally community-based recovery effort like the American Redoubt, you're not contributing, meaning there will be fewer patriots working toward the common goal, the goal of preserving Americanism within the boundaries of the American Redoubt. If you have thousands of patriot survivalists holed up in their various retreats, determined not to come out till it's all over, then we'll all get overrun. And you'll be destroyed with the rest of us, and along with our hope for preserving Americanism. And that'll be gone. There's a time and a place for a retreat group scenario, but if you don't get involved in the rebuilding and recovery, the restoration process, very soon afterward, then something will emerge. And if you want to have a say in what that something ends up being, you better start thinking now of becoming a partisan at some point. As the saying goes, one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. So very true. And this paragraph, survivalists are not joiners, aside from church or synagogue, and certainly not joiners of confrontational outfits. There are serious-minded and honorable persons who are, but they're better defined by the purpose of their organizations than as survivalists. I'd like to think of myself as one of those serious-minded and honorable persons that's a joiner. I chose to join James Rawls and Chuck Baldwin in the American Redoubt movement, as many of you have. The American Redoubt movement isn't a confrontational outfit, though. But sometimes confrontation searches you out. When you go out on a date with your wife, you don't intentionally walk through a group of rowdy, drunk hooligans. You stay on the other side of the street and go around. But when they make a beeline across the street toward you and surround you, well, that's why you discreetly pack a .45 auto. And so does your wife, if she's anything like Mrs. John Jacob Schmidt. And when the situation demands it, you respond accordingly. You do what it takes to stay alive. And for our American ideals and heritage to survive, we can't be isolationists. You're increasingly being surrounded by like-minded patriots, people that are on your side, so don't shut them out. I consider myself more of a prepper than a survivalist, but I've considered myself also to be a survivalist, like I said, until recently. I realize there's no hope of preserving the America that I love in a collapse situation if I just hole up in my group retreat. One of the biggest obstacles to the American Redoubt, besides those political partisan groups I mentioned earlier, is otherwise patriotic, conservative, God-fearing Americans who have the isolationist, survivalist mentality. A retreat group certainly has its place and purpose, and I'm a strong proponent of retreat groups of friends and families, but it's a short to intermediate plan for survival. If you want to survive, though, in the long term, you need to become a partisan. You need to start thinking outside the perimeter of your retreat group. The American Redoubt movement is about individuals and groups connecting for mutual aid and security. But it's also bigger than that. It's about connecting those groups across a community, and connecting those communities across areas and states and regions across the American Redoubt. Think of the American Redoubt as one large retreat group. Finally, connecting. That's a huge obstacle. You can meet up with other preppers and like-minded people by going to websites like the Prepper Meetup page. The problem is, though, that everyone's so scared to link up with other like-minded people because they think there's a DHS agent hiding under every rock. But right now is the time to start getting connected. Yeah, I assure you, the American Redoubt movement and Radio Free Redoubt is not a secret government, law enforcement, or DHS plan to rout out conservatives in the Pacific Northwest. One of the things we're doing to connect like-minded patriots, redoubters across the American Redoubt, is that we're putting a couple programs together called the American Redoubt Network, and then also a network of radio operators called the American Redoubt Operators Network, aka AMRON. If you're a redoubter and you share the vision of so many others of preserving our American ideals and heritage within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, then get on board and join the American Redoubt Network so you can be part of the solution. You can know what other redoubters exist in your area. You can stay connected and informed and help in the rebuilding process. Remember, we have a lot of ham radio operators joining the AMRON project, but you don't have to be a ham operator. Several of you have emailed us saying you want to get on board the AMRON project as relays. That's a non-ham operator that's willing to monitor shortwave, ham, and other radio traffic to pass along to others using the CH3 communication model. Now, that's about as far as I'm going to go with that tonight, but just to recap, conservative American patriots, such as Tea Partiers and 912ers, God bless you for your efforts and your love for America and your passion for restoring America and for fighting so tirelessly to keep the God in the one nation under and in God we trust. It's largely because of your efforts that the conservatives took control of the House of Representatives and a huge portion of the Senate. You are partisans, but please realize that we're being overrun. Our nation is all but destroyed, knocked out on our feet. The only thing left is the final blow, whatever that might be, but it's coming. Be ready to stand up and be partisans to preserve America in regions known as redoubts across America, and especially the American Redoubt, where thousands of redoubters already live and hundreds of families and individuals are relocating. Now, to the survivalists, God bless you for your conviction and your strong passion and for choosing life. I know you all love American ideals and values and you want to preserve them, but please consider the larger retreat group, the American Redoubt, so you and your loved ones will have something to come out to when the dust settles. So you can have a hand in preserving what it is you love, that rugged individualism, the love for God, and your freedom to worship Him the way your conscience guides you. You have a strong sense of protecting and providing for your families, friends, and loved ones, which the scriptures tell you to. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That could be an entire broadcast segment in and of itself for another time. But with the difficult times ahead that many believe are imminent, if you hope to preserve your beliefs and values, you will have to consider becoming a partisan at some point, or you won't survive and neither will we. Third, to you opportunists, what I call opportunists, you're correct in your assessment. Right now, it's a buyer's market. If you have money and you can scoop up land, gold, or other commodities, investments, that's smart. But don't be deceived into thinking it's just something you can hold on to for 5 years and then come out the other side of the next Great Depression all wealthy and America will continue right off where it left off. I hope you're right, and you might be, but I personally believe that when it, whatever it ends up being, hits America full force, it will change America into something that looks nothing like the America we know now. In fact, many people, experts and amateur geopolitical students, believe that we're headed down the same path as Eastern Europe, and that when it's all over, we'll likely end up with a fragmented continent where several smaller republics or nations, if you will emerge. Your investment skills and economic prowess will be needed and called upon. So start thinking about that now. Now, I'm not being a nihilist here or a doomsdayer. I'm looking at all this as a reckoning for a country that's turned its back on God and an opportunity to restore America through pockets of conservative, God-fearing patriots called the American Redoubt, as well as other redoubts. When a building is destroyed by flood, fire, tornado, or some other destructive cause, you have to clear out the debris from the foundation and build anew. Then you get a nice new structure again. I'm not talking about overthrowing our government or tearing our country down and rebuilding it. You don't set your own house on fire just so you can build a new one. That's arson. But our country's already coming down by traitors, arsonists, who've already destroyed it. That's something none of us had any hand in, but it's designed that way to clear the way for a global system. America has to be leveled for their plan to work. So, coming out the other side of all of this, if we don't build something after the fall that resembles America as it was intended to be and envisioned by our founding fathers through something like the American Redoubt, then joining the global community is the only other option. And for me, that's not an option. But I assure you, it can only go one of three ways. One, a fresh new start after a collapse, an opportunity. Two, follow someone else's plan and become global citizens. Or three, we become a conquered people by a foreign government, like China, for example. Really think about it, take it seriously, and pray about it. Excuse me. I missed my cough button. And for the rest of you, the biggest obstacle to the American Redoubt is people not waking up to the reality and the magnitude of what we're facing as a nation and a people. This is way bigger than storing up 500 pounds of rice and 1,000 rounds of ammo for your M1A or your M4 or your AK. If that's as big as your world is, and if that's as big as you can expand your mind, we're all going to get steamrolled. I know this is heavy stuff and it's hard to wrap your mind around, but it was that way for millions of people in the last century, from Poland to France, from Israel to Czechoslovakia, from East Germany to Southern Sudan. Lives torn apart and affected whether they wanted to participate or not. And the people who tried sounding the warning bells were chastised and marginalized as fearmongers and doomsdayers. We're no longer looking for survivalists or even preppers. We're not in search of alternative investing experts, and we're no longer trying to expand the ranks of the Tea Party, although they're holding the wolves at bay, buying the rest of us time. We're looking for partisans, people who believe in preserving the spirit of America and who want to place God's law above human whim, people who are willing to draw a line in the sand and say, not here, not ever. Pretty soon you won't have to. You won't have a choice. Well, actually, you'll have a choice: a free American or a slave. That's exactly what George Washington said. He said, "The time is near at hand, which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. We need partisans." No one ever says, "When I grow up, I want to be a partisan." Partisans are forged through circumstance and necessity. They emerge when they determine that the cost of not being a partisan outweighs the risk of failing in the face of tyranny. I don't mean the blind, unreasonable following of a cause. Not that kind of partisan. I mean one who is so convicted that his views and his cause and the final outcome, he sees this all with crystal clarity. I've posted a couple links that should help clarify what it means to be a partisan and make you think a little bit. I'd like to hear your thoughts. You've heard mine, at least some of them. I'm definitely going to come back to this topic, maybe in week 17, which will be 2 weeks from now. And I want to write about it in the near future too. But I'm going to wrap things up for tonight because I want to pray about this and spend some more time meditating on it. And I know many, many of you feel the same way. You all see the way things are going And if you pay attention to history, we can reasonably calculate the outcome to some degree. We know we can't just act like nothing's happening. Not if we hope to preserve our values and our heritage. So prepare. Logistically prepare. Store up enough food to last a year at a minimum. Store up enough fuel for lighting and cooking. Prepare to procure water and to heat your home. Get into some of the resources we've posted and start hitting those prepper resources we have on the blog. Get caught up on Tess's 52-week preparedness plan over at Ready Nutrition and get her free newsletter. Get that stuff out of the way so you can concentrate on other things. It's kind of hard to plan to rebuild after a collapse if you're watching your kids starve. One of the best ways you can help the needy is to start by not being one of them. And being a partisan is a miserable life, especially if you're hungry. But it beats the heck out of being in a refugee camp. And besides, you're not building anything from the inside of a so-called relief center. So become self-sufficient now. Okay, I'm rambling. Hopefully, you have enough to digest for the next couple of weeks. I'll be posting articles and pieces during the week, so keep checking back for those. And right after the show, we'll be airing a nostalgic old-time radio show of I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's episode titled The Red Gate. And while that's playing, we'll be queuing up the show you just heard. So in about 28 or 29 minutes from now, we'll re-air the episode you just heard. And you know why? That's right, in case you missed any of it. Keep the letters coming in. We'd love hearing from you. And don't forget to read the American Readout Network page and get on board. That's coming together, and we'll be letting you know more about that in the next week or so. God bless you all. God bless America, and God bless the American Readout. And remember to go out this week keeping this scripture in mind from Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You've been listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt, and I am John Jacob Schmidt. Have a great week and good night.